Welcome to the Watson Weekend. You're not just your sets. We are your B team hosts. I'm Vinny O'Brien, and with me is
I'm part of the C team. I'm Nick Kaplan, your co-host. We are not Rick and Jess. Rick is in the air. I assume he's probably getting ready for the comments. But it was so weird to see us on that screen with George and that incredible song, which has to be made into a full length version, by the way. But yes, we are here today.
Okay, good.
I mean, I really want that song, but but we are here today, and we are bringing you your weekly dose of retail, tech, and e-commerce. It's a good week for it, as retail continuously is in that reinvention loop, and we're here to try to decode a little bit of that chaos for you. One Prime Day tantrum and tariff, I hate that word, tariff, at a time, right? So we might not have the moves of Rick and Jess. I don't know. But we're here. And I think I'm excited to be with you, Vinny. You are one of those incredibly intuitive, smart people. And I'm psyched to talk a little bit of commerce with you today.
Yeah, we're going to call this the Sesame Street version. That's the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3. It's not quite as high level as people are going to be used to, Nick, but I do enjoy our discussions at any time of the day. I just want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Mirakl, who have been with us all year long, because traditional commerce is just code for not growing. It's time to do better than the status quo. Join 450-plus retailers who are scaling 6x faster than others with AI automation, a platform for built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media, enterprise-grade scale. It's time to accelerate all that with Mirakl. When Will Arnett says these kind of things, it sounds so much better. I'm going to have to up my voice game. This was a crazy week, though. Nick, we saw Doherty Explorer get iced this week. Shopify had some amazing results. And you're on the West Coast, and you seem more serene. What's that all about?
I know, right? We came west. We do that typically over the summer. I find just environment, it's like offices and places you go to work, environment is very impactful. And just being out here, we're actually in San Diego, and the hiking and the outdoors, the East Coast hours and the West Coast to get the early afternoons, it suits right. Me. It suits Kaplan. So
it sounds like you're living in Ireland. It's hiking, being outdoors, right? Rain in the morning, snow in the evening.
I keep telling Watson, I'm like RMW Commerce West Coast, and he's like, no.
It sounds like a bad episode of Miami Vice. But quick question: Shopify, you had crazy results this week. Is that healthy Shopify a good sign for the industry at large?
Yes.
Don't
and no.
Hedge on this one. Just give me an answer.
You know me so well. Yes, and a healthy Shopify is a good thing. But I think that in it, not to hedge, but it just is, it's a constant. I mean, Shopify has cracked the code. And do I think that Shopify has Google or Microsoft written all over it? I don't know, but maybe. I think that Shopify, if it really plays its cards right, is the future of commerce in some respects. So, yes, but there's too much other chaos to glean positivity coming from one of the most positive people you know. So, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so. What I'm nervous about is the way they wear their heart to sleeve so much. And that's the piece that kind of worries me. Google and Microsoft, those people you mentioned, they're very guarded, but Shopify are a very public-facing, in-your-face company. It's the time that they've got to defend themselves if we really know what Shopify are made of. And Harley and Toby are going to be an interesting duo. I mean, you just consider the 24 hours before they release their earnings, they release the agentic tools that are going to be a challenge and an opportunity for everyone. Depends on what way you look at it. And they're very much glass half full people. So I think as an industry, it's great that they create so much positivity, because positivity leads to entrepreneurship. It leads to people creating new products, figuring out ways to do things better. And look, I'm a skeptic, you know, behind closed doors, that I just love digging on all these kind of things. But for now, I think just in the interest of today's show, we might move on, because we have an amazing show. We've got a pre-recorded interview. It was I think it was the first one that Sheen had done. And we're so happy that George Shang has come on and helped us and joined the show. And he had this amazing discussion with Rick. George is an e-commerce and marketplace veteran. And he's been around the block. He's done work with companies like Miracle, VTech, Sears. Quite an incredible CV, currently part of the leadership team in Shein, and leads the third-party marketplace business. He has a really strong perspective on all the things that we talk about on a daily basis, which is really exciting to have as part of our show today. But before we get there, Nick, as always, we got something else, right?
We do, and I'm super excited for the interview. But let's get to the headline hangover, which is sponsored by Crystal. And, we're going to sort of get into our game today, right? But before that, we want to thank Crystal for sponsoring, because, one EDI without transaction fees or developer delays, and knowing I have a few clients that 100% want that, Crystal is the answer. So visit crstl.ai. And let me to the headline hangover.
Hey, I'm nervous about this.
Just going to say, we can't mess this up. I mean, Jess and Rick did really well last week. So.
No, I mean, we can only mess this up. Okay.
Exactly.
And like I said, this is Sesame Street version. You are Oscar the Grouch and I am Elmo. That's how I feel going into this. So
let's see some audience. Let's see if the audience can help us by actually answering the question.
Before the game even begins.
Can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. All right. We're on the clock, my friend.
Okay. So I think it's me up first. Claire's files blank with 18 stores slated. Okay. Clothes. I mean, and I know you love your accessories, Nick.
Come on. I'm even going to go a step further and say it's not just bankruptcy, but it's a BK22, a chapter 22. And I heard it's maybe up to 700 stores are going to close. And I don't think that there's a buyer for this business. I think that this is, it was nice while we knew you. Time outgrew you. You're donezo.
You've practiced this. It's like you've seen what's behind the blank. Libby, you can reveal. I'm going to give Nick half a point here. You went too technical. I knew you would. I knew you'd go too deep on this because you know this stuff inside out. I nearly gave away my first swear word on the show. Nick, 0.5, Vinny, 0. That feels like the winning margin.
I'm appealing to the audience, but let's get to number two.
So, go for it.
All right. Libby, Amazon to end blank labeling services in the U.S.
There could be a number of things here. Amazon seems to love these obscure headlines. I'm going to say standardized, universal, PostScript labeling services in the U.S.
Now, unlike you, I'm a generous person and would have given you anything, but no.
Really? FBA prep?
Yeah.
Prep, it should be called FBA prep page, because that is such a pain in the...
Yeah.
Right? Amazon are going to end FBA prep labeling services in the US. What's next? I'm guessing AI is going to replace that, right? So we don't need to do it because AI is going to jump right in.
Yep. And I think it's very apt with... GPT, ChatGPT 5 coming out to much fanfare yesterday, claiming that there are like 40 roles it can replace, I think is something I saw. But
these are the little things. I mean, we kind of gloss over these headlines, but these are where there's lots of little processes eroded. Lots of people have jobs doing these kind of things. These are the things and the numbers that we kind of lose and forget about. And this headline will not be talked about anywhere else, just here.
Yeah.
That's how much deep digging we do to make sure we cover the best news.
And we scour the earth.
And I purposely got it wrong because I wanted to talk about the story. So let's go for number three, Levy. Let's see, can Kaplan elevate himself? Oh, crikey.
I'm not trying to answer this because of the qualifications for scoring points.
This seems unfair. I know we're a U.S. show, but like this is the worst softball hand tosser ever.
I'm going to go with a two-worder hyphenated record-breaking performance, a three-worder.
Backwards cap uplifting. I want to get what we call a steward's inquiry in this one. I'm not going to let you like receive a point for this.
I mean, it could be an incredible performance, record breaking. I think record breaking. All right, let's see it. See if I got points. I mean, exceptional, record breaking, incredible. I think I get points.
But they were incredible. Like GMV increased 65%, European GMV up 49%. In the quarter, it's the ninth consecutive quarter in Europe. I'm going to talk about it for a little bit because we don't really get to do it too often. But for the last eight quarters, they were delivering about 33-35%. That's 49%, and that's driven by the community that they have there. They've also committed to putting not a huge amount of bodies on the ground here, but more support locally to Shopify development and the SI community, which I think is really important because. And there is money on the table for them over here. And I think that's absolute proof right there as well. But the rest of the results were pretty strong as well, Nick. I mean, like margin was up, a lot of cash reserves. If you were Bobby Morrison, I was sitting on whatever, 5.5 billion or 6 billion in cash reserves. Is there even anything for them to invest in, is my question to you.
I mean, 100%. I see Shopify making a lot of sort of venture bets on companies in all different spaces. For example, there's a lot of AI, there's a lot of building, right? I see products like middleware that continues to extend into the customer journey. But yes, I think that, albeit not fulfillment, but I think anything that sort of helps media buying, measurement and performance, I don't know why Shopify doesn't identify and target, for example, like a Triple Whale, right? Triple Whale released a really...
bad. No one cares about it.
Triple Whale went beyond attribution with, I forget what they're calling it. It begins with an M, but it's a tool now that for small and mid-sized businesses really helps measure creative performance. It helps measure efficiency, and it's really not just about visualizations. And so, yeah, I see Shopify buying things like that. But
that's an interesting point, though, because we talk about Shopify in enterprise terms all the time, and they serve an SMB market first and foremost, yet we kind of try to cut up the company in a way that is always enterprise in our minds, but we got to remember they're serving a market that's so much different. And you've kind of highlighted it right there, that these are things that are useful to SMB businesses.
Listen, the only thing standing between us and a great interview that I'm really excited to see is the headline hangover, which that's a great segue into our last question, because it is sort of a little bit of a compare and contrast, right? Friend of the show, Travis Hess. Commerce.com CEO Travis Hess says we've what the entire company.
Give me one moment while I just give Travis a little if he can help a guy out. We've unified the entire company, right? It's got to be something along those lines. We've rebooted.
It's what they did. And I think in the article that is in Digital Commerce 360, the interview with him, I mean, he does specifically talk about like, we are not Shopify and we're not competing with Shopify. Shopify does a lot of great things, but we want to be, in terms of just like our acquisitions, Makeswift, Feedonomics, creating a more a solution that solves complex problems, effectively saying Shopify does not do that. The question really becomes, you know, what complex problems must you solve versus the ability to build community through leveraging a platform to serve good product and content and really thinking more along the lines of like investment in CRM and data analytics tools. But
I you mentioned Peter Knowles, like the jewel in the crown.
I was going to say, I give them credit. And he says also in an interview that he didn't even know they owned Feedonomics in his interview process. So I think that said a lot. But yeah, listen, it's not an easy job. I think he's done a good job. And I think that in order to evolve, you have to be unafraid of taking risk and recognizing where you are in terms of the problem you're solving and your go-to-market strategy. And BigCommerce, like 100 out of 100 times, won't beat Shopify in its current state. So it's becoming different.
Well, they'll never be Shopify because they're called Commerce. And so you got that wrong. But look, we're
well. I love the name Commerce.com. Right. So
that's amazing. Yeah, like that. That was a coup. And there was a signpost for everyone when they acquired that domain. But Travis is about 12 months in, right? On the scorecard, what are you going to give him for his first 12 months? He's done a lot of things publicly and privately. Come on, put me on the spot.
Seven.
I was not expecting that out of you.
And not what they're doing, what he's doing.
That's the West Coast going to your head. It's too much sunshine, too much positivity, not enough sirens going by the office.
All right. Well, but I don't miss that. But speaking of sunshine and positivity, let's get to this interview. I think we may have overstayed our welcome. Surprised Rick isn't commenting here, like, stop.
No, I think I've got a few WhatsApps from him there. Yeah, I think we should. Look, like we said earlier on, we did an amazing interview with George Chang, who has been kind enough to join us from Shein. Rick and myself have this amazing discussion, and I'm so happy to be able to pass over. Nick, thanks so much for joining me, letting me be part of this. I think I'm better behind the scenes, so I'm going to take my jacket off and relax right now.
You look good.
You enjoy that West Coast weekend. Libby, let's hit the video.
All right. I am here with George Chang, the marketplace legend, I would call him. He and I have known each other for a while. We haven't worked at the same companies, but we've definitely worked at adjacent companies throughout our career in marketplaces. So I'm super excited to be on here with a call with George Chang, who is the general manager of Shein's marketplace. Welcome, George.
Great, Rick. Yeah, pleasure to talk to you. And thanks for having me on the Watson Weekend. Certainly, we've been in the same orbit
for
many, many, many years. Excited to talk more about Shein today.
What do you think people know about Shein? Like, what should people know about Shein? And how do you guys think about yourselves today?
Yeah, definitely. If you're 13 to 30-ish female, you probably shop at Shein or know someone that does. But most folks don't realize that Shein is this massive global organization that sells into 150 countries, the number one most visited fashion website in the world, according to SEMrush, number one rated shopping app by Payments.com, which is a massive achievement. So I think folks think of Shein as this fun kind of fashion destination. You know, we really see ourselves as a global platform. You know, that's first and foremost. I think second, I think folks always kind of have the misnomer of us and how we see the community. You know, so at least for me working here in LA, we have a really, really robust connection with our local communities. For example, we have a Shein Foundation, Rick, that we've committed to pledge, you know, $700,000 to folks that are supporting inclusive communities. We are a national partner for the Boys and Girls Club of America. As a matter of fact, they're coming here at 3 o'clock, just 3 to 6. And I'm hosting, you know, 60 kids here, and we're gonna have all kinds of festivities. We have a program called Shein Cares, where we work with the LA food banks and the homeless shelters. So I think folks don't really realize that, you know, we are really connected with local communities. You know, I think what makes us maybe a little different than other platforms, Rick, is we are customer obsessed, which is not different, but the way we go about it, I think, is different. I'll kind of tell you why. We have this customer that's really distinct and really concrete and really identifiable, right? If you look at other e-commerce platforms, you may ask them, like, who's your customer? They may or may not know, but we have this customer that we know is unique. It's Gen Z, it's younger millennials, it's Gen Alpha. And we've built this entire experience around this customer.
Yeah.
Right. We have all these signals that we try to anticipate, to look, to react to. So we built this unique kind of ecosystem. So I think how we've gone about it, I think, is a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fascinating. And obviously the marketplace is a pretty unique angle on it, because Shein started as sort of, I don't know if it's accurate to say it's like small batch manufacturing. It was sort of releasing all the time to the market, in a marketplace, I would say call it more traditional marketplace, like you and I have known it throughout our career. It's a little bit fascinating. I saw you coming into Shein as a general manager there, and I'm like, oh, this is a serious, that was a signal to me that this was a big deal to Shein, and that this just wasn't a kind of an extra thing on the side. This was going to be in a major initiative. Why don't you give the listener a little bit more about who you are, some of the places you've been in your career, and like what really attracted you here, and how did you know this was a good stop for you?
Yeah. No, great question. I can give a little bit more insight on kind of my chronology here. Yeah. I mean, Rick, I knew you way back in the day from your Barnes & Noble, Mercent days.
Yeah.
You know, and so I really broke my chops, you know, in e-commerce early 2000s. I was one of the first beta testers of Google AdWords. Yeah. So in digital marketing, way back in the day, sold on eBay, had a chance to meet Meg Whitman. I don't know if you remember her.
Unbelievable. I do.
Right? Way back. And then started working at a big pure plays like Newegg, where I was there for 8 years, you know, ran merchandising, started the marketplace, operated it, went to Sears, ran the marketplace, went to Rakuten after acquired Buy.com. And eventually ran their entire e-com business there. And so, and then I went on the seller side. Mm-hmm. And I was a seller of CEO of BedShare, which was the biggest bedding brand, I think, in the US, biggest seller on Amazon for sure. And spent some time on the seller side there, and also as the chief channels officer at Spreetail, and spent some time at SaaS, mm-hmm. VTEX Commerce, Miracle, all those companies. So I've been like in and around all these different places.
Yeah.
And so, but when I had the opportunity to look into Shein, you know, the more research I did, I was just blown away, Rick. I was like, this one of the biggest companies that you would ever heard of if you weren't shopping there.
Right.
Right. And I saw this kind of raw potential and the way they went about it, the way they captured this audience, this Gen Z audience, which is like so influential in such a unique cohort. And so that's what really attracted me to Shein.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fascinating, especially at a time where I don't care what brand you talk to, particularly in fashion, which Shein's obviously known for. There are so many fashion brands out there that are, you know, quote unquote legacy. What is their number one goal? How do I connect to a younger consumer?
Yeah,
because, you know, they have an aging demographic, and now like, what do we do? And obviously they have to have the product to work, but you need to be in the right places too, to introduce your brand to these customers. And it seems to me like there are very few places that are only focused on this demographic. Yep. I guess, how did that happen?
Yeah, great question. And I won't take responsibility for it, you know, because as you may or may not know, Gen Z audience is a very unique cohort. You know, they're going to be the largest, wealthiest, most diverse cohort ever. They love technology. You know, 98% of Gen Zers, Rick, own a cell phone. 98%. And for context, you know, 97% of people brush their teeth in the United States. So you're more likely to find a Gen Zer that doesn't brush their teeth than someone that has a cell phone, right? So it's the way they're kind of like migrated, mobilized around that. Now for Shein, we really created authenticity first with the customer. We created a mechanism where they can have a fun and vibrant experience. One of the things we do a great job of is incentivizing our customers to come back for more content, more products. Mm-hmm. And we have this great currency that we call Shein Points that creates this very vibrant, fun experience where you're earning points all the time. And that's what one of the things that we've learned, you know, working with the Gen Z audience is they appreciate that. You know, for me personally, I don't want to spin the wheel. I hate pushing that button. I don't want to know the mystery boxes. I don't want to feed the puppy.
Right? I know. None of those things do I want to do.
None of those things. I want to type in search, find what I want, check out, and get it in hopefully 2 days. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm not the Shein customer, right? The Gen Zer wants something different, Rick. They want a different experience. Yeah. And Shein's figured it out. You know, according to this research study I saw from eMarketer, about almost half of Gen Zers shop on Shein a minimum of once a month, minimum. So somehow we figured it out.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so obviously the person who wants to access your marketplace is someone who wants to be, you know, in front of this Gen Z audience. Are there any other restrictions? Is it like from a, let's just start at a high level. What types of categories are you going for, I guess, in your initial launch over the next year or so?
Yeah, I want to create experience that's going to resonate with our Gen Z audience and create something that's going to be authentic and doesn't feel off base. Certain verticals make a lot of sense, Rick, for sure. Anything you have to do with fashion and dressing well and accessories will definitely be on point for us. Health and beauty is another one that has a really good high affinity. And then, of course, home. Anything in around the home is a really, really great category for us to go after. I'll tell you a funny story. I was at Prosper, and we had a booth there, and some gentleman came through. And I was like, hey, how's it going? What are you looking for? He's like, oh, you know, I want to learn more about Shein Marketplace. I said, okay, well, like, what kind of products do you have? He's like, oh, I have, you know, I carry DeWalt. I have Milwaukee. I have these, you know, drills. And I said, that's great. When I was at the other marketplaces, like, I'd kill myself to get this product. They're so hard to get.
Right.
But you know what? I don't think it's a good fit for us here.
Right, right.
Right. I don't want to waste your time or my time, right? And so I think you can get a sense of that portfolio. And I'll give you another one. So we launched supplements as a brand new category in November. And sure enough, in the first few months, our number one selling item in our health and wellness category was a female probiotic out of nowhere. So this just kind of gives you a sense of like how we're sorting.
Yeah. No, I think it's fascinating. As for recruiting sellers, and I think also to support your sellers, you recently had an event. I think it was in LA called Elevate.
Yes, definitely.
When we were talking, we were at an event in New York City, and I think you had were just coming off of it.
Yes, exactly. So that's one of the things that we really wanted to do and take advantage of the fact that we have a fantastic LA office and try and connect with sellers and merchants locally. So we threw this, you know, kind of like invitation only event. Yeah. And like, it was electric, Rick, like people were sneaking into the event, It was probably bigger than it should have been. Right. And I don't want to get trouble with our office team, but like, you know, it was really crowded but it was amazing. So we made an opportunity for us to like, to see the interest from the sellers come on board. We had these kind of seminars and training sessions in our conference rooms. And it was like standing room only.
Huh.
It was crazy. Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, you mentioned at Prosper, and obviously you meet a lot of people who either don't know Shein or have this perception of Shein, like fast fashion. What are some of the perceptions? Like, is there a common perception that you think changes after having a few conversations with you and working together that you're like, huh, I thought this might be true, but I was really surprised that I didn't know this before.
Yeah, I think one of the first things that people say is like, I didn't know you had a marketplace.
Right.
You know, and you sell things besides fashion. So I think those are the two things I think folks see the first off. And then second, they realize, oh, you know, the ethos of what we're trying to build here is trying to build a marketplace that is going to resonate with our audience and that's going to share the same values that we have at Shein. Like for us, it's no secret. We're customer obsessed. We value speed and agility, right? And we value innovation, like all those things. And so when and accessibility, right? And if a seller can embrace all those things, they realize, well, we're a great partner to work with.
Got it. And if a seller is in the right category, are there other criteria that you're looking for? Are you looking for experienced sellers? Are you looking for new sellers? You meaning like people who may not be eBay power sellers or, you know, Amazon FBA veterans or that these sorts of things?
Yeah, there's a few buckets of merchants that we're looking for. We definitely want the professional seller, the seller that knows what they're doing, that's probably selling on other platforms. We're open to brands direct who have a marketplace strategy, and we're looking for distributors, wholesalers that are trying to get into the fashion vertical, but you know, they're more of a traditional business and they do wholesale, right? So there's different personas that we're looking for. Probably not, you know, not a C2C or a P2P type of flavor. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. So you're not like, you know, if you're selling on Facebook groups, you know, to your local community or something, it's probably not.
No.
The next step is not Shein Marketplace for you.
Right. You got it.
That makes sense. I mean, clearly there are not a lot of people who understand, you know, Gen Z, how they think. You mentioned customer obsessed, and you have this sort of, let's be honest, this fashion obsessed audience. Like Shein made famous this idea of this haul, right? And you like share it on social media and all these things you got from Shein. I mean, it really was invented there. Now we're talking about a whole bunch of other categories. Like, what's the playbook for transferring some of that secret sauce to items that Shein isn't typically known for?
Sure. So first of all, that Shein haul dynamic mentioned, completely organic. It was all community driven and we fostered it, we cultivated it. And so that's the interesting part of our strategy is continue to be authentic, right? The second part is how do we enter new categories? And once we do, how do we start to expand, land and expand, right? We have this very vocal and sharing customer base, and we can poll them. We can do insight studies, and they'll tell us. So we can say, hey, customer, can you tell us, would you be interested in buying books on our site, right? Or would you be interested in buying beauty products on our site? How much will it pay for? Where do you shop right now? What kind of categories are you looking for? All these different things. We do a lot of insight studies before we say, okay, there's an opportunity here. Let's size a prize. And as we start to launch the market, we go after kind of key folks. Like, for example, we launched supplements in November, IRB. You know, IRB's a great partner for us, right? And then we have a plethora of merchandising vehicles that we engage. You know, whether it's our app pushes, we have a live stream show that we produce four times a week. We have campus ambassadors. We have a lot of different varieties of mechanisms where we can be more overt to introduce new products to our customers.
Got it. And so obviously marketplace, we've been in the space for a long time. Obviously there's a little bit of a dance between supply and demand. You can have all the products in the world, but if people aren't looking for it or if they're not discovering them, how are you identifying the types of consumers that have an affinity and like how are you surfacing? So like I won't say seller marketing, but it's also sort of beyond seller marketing. It's almost like buyer discovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a few ways we kind of attack the flywheel, right? One of it is we have a tailored approach, like a hyper customized approach. So every person that's on our platform will see different products, whether they're on an app or desktop. So if they looked for that bed and they look for those sheets, we can anticipate they're looking for something for their home. It will start to, the brain will start to like serve more and more items and try to anticipate your needs. So that's kind of the way where customers self-identify for the products they want. And the other way is we have promotional campaigns that we run that are themed, and we're continually trying to push our emails, push different mechanisms. So we have a almost like a pull and push kind of dynamic to help us spin that flywheel.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, I think that is super interesting. There's been a lot of marketplaces that want to chase this consumer, but they haven't been able to really resonate there because it's where their parents buy. I mean, you and I both know, like, it's dads or, you know, whatever. We're not cool. Like, we already know that. Yet Shein with this generation is definitely seen as the place to be. What do you think Shein has that other places are lacking?
A few different things. The ability to create this authentic, community-driven, organic experience, I think is something that other platforms couldn't capture, that lightning in a bottle. The fun and vibrant experience that we have, it's different. It's different. And when I was at Rakuten, Rick, many, many years ago, we tried that same approach, but the generation wasn't ready for it. So I think a lot of it had to do with having the right experience at the right time. And then us kind of wrapping our experience around it, because it has this unique blend of like traditional e-commerce, the shopping cart, the reviews, the photos, the navigation, the search, the breadcrumbs. And then you kind of like mix it in with like a little bit of this merchant friendly power seller store essence where we can let folks follow stores. And when you follow these stores, they'll actually send you updates. If the store launched new products, have discount promotions. And then you have this social kind of experience where it allows customers to scroll, we're serving content. So like those things wrap together, and then you take this loyalty points experience from Shein, wrap it around, and you're rewarding people for activities, create this unique experience, allow us to kind of capture it. So I think that along with our timing, along with our customer, really makes it unique for us and very difficult. And quite candidly, Rick, it's the number one reason why certain brands and sellers want to partner with us. Because this cohort is so hard to figure out. They shop differently. They think differently. They influence differently. Even their language is different. Like, I have a 12-year-old son, and I joke around this with my colleagues. Like, they use a different vernacular. Right. It's a different slang, right?
Right. Yeah. It's a different slang than we grew up with. You talked about a little bit about, you hinted at some ways that a consumer has to interact with a seller. One of them is sort of like the follow a store so they get updates. Are there other ways that fans of a brand or consumers of a brand can interact with a seller or engage with a seller on the platform outside of following and purchasing?
Yeah, we as I mentioned earlier, we actually have a live stream that we run 3 or 4 times a week. And it's a way for our audience to shop and experience brands a little bit differently, right? And then just, you know, in our app or in our shopping platform. We also have these campus ambassadors. We have 50 to 60,000 campus ambassadors that's talking about Shein, that's looking at our clothes. That's another way of experiencing it. And then third way, we actually did a collaboration with an influencer. Her name is Heather Ray from Sunset Celebrities. And she curated her own collection of home items that were affordable. Mm. And most of those were from the marketplace. Mm. So there's different ways we kind of interact for brands. Yeah. Customers are unique to us.
And if you're a seller, you want, like, let's like take the live stream, for instance. Is it Shein employees doing the live stream? Is it the sellers participating in it? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, we have our own talent that's producing the show, but we are open to different permutations of sellers. We have a few sellers that are influencers themselves in selling items on platform, and we've thought about having them on the show themselves. So whatever we do to create like a fun, vibrant, authentic experience, like that, we're all in.
Got it. It's kind of interesting, especially when you kind of think about what is Shein. I mean, Shein, the backbone of Shein is just like tremendous, and you've hinted at this a little bit, like this tremendous data platform that is just constantly, and you think about, I think about TikTok the same way, just like in Meta or like any of these big, big platforms. They're just trying to always just understand and create this model of what is the consumer doing, what motivates them, and what are they going to want next? And so that then lets you understand, like, what are they going to need? But it also, like, every seller isn't equipped to take advantage of that because they have to go source a new product or, you know what I mean? Like, if they've been doing business in the same way for a long time, they don't work like Shein does. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just talking about, like, Shein, not the marketplace itself.
Sure.
And so, like, do certain sellers you find have more advantages on the marketplace than others that are able to take advantage of the data? And like, how much of the data are you sharing with sellers?
Sterling, that's a great point. There's a few ways we can analyze that. So one, the answer is yes. There are certain sellers who are built a certain way, that can operate a certain way. And I'll give an example. So we have this print on demand seller. They're called Monster Digital. They're based out of Miami, so local seller, and they print on demand. Everything's print, you know, here or very near here, near shore. And like, for example, last year there was this big old thing with Taylor Swift when she was at a Chiefs game with, you know, Travis Kelce. Right. And all of a sudden, you could see these people trying to create these T-shirts that had Travis Kelce's like jersey number on it. So our partner, Monster Digital, within 48 hours had designed and created a listing for that product, and we started to go to market with it. So if you think about that, that's like the epitome of like the heart and soul of this vertically integrated Shein, like ultra fast small batch model, and putting that into the hands of a third party partner and them being an extension of us. So I think that's kind of like one of the ultimate goals of this is take this, the like you said, the data platform, this muscle that we've built, right?
And,
you know, allow the gazillion other categories that make sense to our customers and have them be an extension of that platform.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the ones you mentioned, you know, like these university ambassadors, and I've seen that Shein has done sort of like pop-ups, influencer events and things. Like, how does that integrate with Shein, I guess, altogether? And then how does that tie into the marketplace, and are there opportunities for sellers in those events?
Certainly. So it's a core part of our strategy, Rick. You know, for example, I think last week had an event in Miami where we invited, you know, all the top influencers to an event, and we did a pop-up event the day after in Miami. And so that's just kind of the heart and fabric of how we try to create something that is authentic, that's social, that people enjoy, that resonates with Gen Z. And we are starting to integrate parts of that into our marketplace. I'll give you an example. So I have this seller. They, it's a funny story. They actually came up to me during my Elevate show. And they say, hey, George, you know, hey, thanks for inviting me. We're a big fan of Shein. And, you know, I'm like, okay, what do you sell? And I'm always curious. What kind of product do you sell? I've been on the seller side. And he says, I sell a whole bunch of ethnic hair products. But this one product is blowing up. I'm like, okay, well, what is it? It's a glue that you put to attach a wig on. You know, if you have to put certain wigs or weeds, you have to use a glue that's antibacterial, that's clean, whatever. And I don't know anything about it. And it's blowing up on Shein. I'm selling you more than other platforms. And I said, that's great. You know what? How do we get you connected? And so we're actually in talks of planning connecting that person to one of our top influencers who actually use those kind of products.
Huh.
Right? So we meld kind of like social influence directly into our marketplace partners.
Yeah. No, that's super cool. You mentioned some of these kind of channel events, and I know that Shein has started to move into the off, you know, quote unquote, the offline world. Shein has an investment in the past and Spark Group under ABG. you know, you can return Shein items into Forever 21 stores in the past. Like, should we expect to see the sort of like, call it omni strategy of Shein continue to evolve in that way?
We are always looking for ways to innovate retail. We are not looking to open our own brick and mortar stores. That's not part of our strategy. We have a fine-tuned engine. We're always looking for ways where we can innovate the experience, you know, potentially even weave that into our other marketplace partners. They also have the brick and mortar stores. So yes, we're certainly looking for ways to innovate that.
Got it. And so when you say other partners, okay, that makes sense. In terms of, you know, you mentioned Monster Digital. I mean, I think that's an interesting example of a category that you wouldn't necessarily think about being popular on Shein, like really blowing up. Are there other examples or other types of categories that you're really looking for where, let's call it, you're supply constrained? And like, if you're a seller or brand in the audience listening to this, you'd be like, hey, maybe I should reach out to George because I'm the kind of seller that he's after.
Well, the beauty of the platform is it surprises. It surprises me every day, right? And I'll give an example. So last November, we launched a partnership with the Children's Place. And we thought it would be a good endeavor. We did some research and we noticed that our customers are not only getting older, but they're getting younger at the same time, which is really interesting. And then when we launched within November, it blew away all expectations. It was an overwhelming success. So now we actually have a strategy for that category, which we didn't have before, which is kids' clothes, kids' accessories, kids' shoes, you know? And so we're continuing to look for any options that we think make sense. And the beauty of our platform is we can test it and see if it works.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so definitely kids are something here. I guess in addition to categories, are there other sort of features, technology that you're looking to add to the marketplace or the Shein website itself that that you're looking forward to?
You know, when you think about marketplaces in general, because we've been around the block a lot, Rick, I think you're always looking to evolve fulfillment solutions. Whether it's helping sellers get cheaper, faster ship rates, whether it's, you know, finding how to deliver a faster promise time to the customer, whether it's, you know, our own fulfillment or fulfillment through our certified third-party partners. I think logistics and the evolution of logistics, you can't get away from e-commerce. Like, they're kind of married, and a husband and wife. I think that's one of the things that I look at very closely and spend a lot of time thinking about. Another thing that I look at too very closely is how to leverage AI in this environment, right? And then there's the basic applications like chatbots and those kind of things, but we're starting to see interesting new technologies in the realm of products listings and content optimizations kind of starting to sprout up, right? How do we take, you know, content that's not 1P, first party, take content that's either like from manufacturer or third party and enhance it and grow it, cultivate it. I think that's interesting. Another interesting concept is agent to agent. You know, you have shopping agents. Well, what if you have seller agents? How do we get these agents to talk to each other to optimize the experience? So like for me, those are things that I think of, you know, a lot, you know, and how we can create a more vibrant experience for our customers.
Yeah. I mean, your thought about logistics is a good one. There's obviously quite a number of well-known marketplaces that are investing in logistics. I'm not saying you're announcing fulfillment by FBS here, but it's definitely interesting. So what are the options? Like, let's just unpack what you have today.
Sure.
From fulfillment options. Do you have I'm just going to use, you know, other examples. You know, there are a couple different approaches, kind of like the FBM approach, which is like, whatever you do it's yourself, right? The other one is more of like a certified badged partner where you've tested the facility or network of facilities. And as a result, you're able to badge them in advance because they're using a certified partner. Yep. The third is more like owned, leased, facilities that you operate, or some kind of combination of your the last 2 points. Like, what do you have today, and like, where do you think the puck is likely to move, to the extent that you can even talk about it?
Yeah, it's going to be a menu of services depending on the needs of our merchant. So whatever we build, you know, merchants will have selection. You know, there'll be items where, you know, they fulfill themselves, items where we provide labels, a variety of things that we plan to provide.
Got it. So going to more of like a menu of logistics services, do you, you know, I know in particular it's popular with a lot of marketplaces, Tmall, and you can name any of them. If you do big promotions, require sellers to put products in your facilities. Otherwise, you're not going to feature them on the homepage because there's so much demand and you don't want to be left holding the bag. Is that something that, you know, that's also something it seems like could be in your future? I also find it fascinating that, like, we've been this whole conversation so far and you've not mentioned ads once, which is an interesting dynamic from a marketplace conversation, because they're so prevalent now
in the
top marketplaces. So I guess let's unpack that for a second.
Yeah.
Seller wants to increase their visibility. You're like, our conversation so far has been about algorithms, insights, events, live streaming. It hasn't been about placement. It hasn't been about dedicated promotions, that kind of thing. 11, you know, dedicated promo events or things like this that you have to pay into. Is that something that Shein offers today? Does Shein have a point of view on kind of the pay performance type model?
That's a very astute observation, Rick. And I have a lot of experiences launching retail media networks in my previous life, participating in retail media networks from the seller side. And my philosophy is, you know, we go back to the Shein values, which is customer obsessed, you know, speed and agility and accessibility. And so, you know, what I'm asking from our marketplace sellers is we take a 10% commission. That's our cut, which is significantly less than some of the other marketplaces out there. So
we want
our merchants to be able to provide the same type of value to our customers. Pass that savings on if you can. And having been on the seller side before in my past lives, like the marketing expenditures could be pretty significant.
Right.
Pretty significant, right? And you end up having a bidding war for things that you should have already been there. So I'm not saying that we'll never have it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in today's world, I'm more focused on delivering, you know, the experience that supports the Shein values.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I mean, it's definitely interesting to understand just sort of the options out there, and especially, like, I mean, we've both been out there. The market is so saturated.
Yes.
And you have people spending 30, 40, 50% of revenue.
Yep.
All in on these channels, and say the fact that there's a scaled platform at 10% is a pretty significant statement in the market on its own.
Yep.
Cool. I mean, this has been super interesting to talk through. And there's obviously a lot of, I think, information you've delivered about Shein. What is the sellers? Let's talk about onboarding for a second, because I know it's like something that nobody wants to talk about because it's hard. It's always harder than you think it is. It's supposed to be easy. It's like never quite so easy. What are some of the different ways that a seller could onboard through Shein?
We have a portal where sellers can log in, create their SKUs manually, download the orders. If they want, they can choose a feed. They can connect with us through our open API framework, or they can use a partner.
Got it. And so you have a set of partners that, you know, probably all the names we're all familiar with, you know, that support other platforms. I think especially in the process that you said, a lot of you want professional sellers. Professional sellers are using, for the most part, I mean, there are a number of sellers that are sophisticated enough. to build their own technology. But most sellers are not technologists. Obviously, we've covered a lot of information, George, but if there's one thing that the audience could take away from Shein Marketplace that you want them to sort of stick in their minds as they go forward, what would that be?
I would say if you're a seller, on the seller side, looking for a Gen Z strategy and wanting to connect with them, Shein's going to be a phenomenal option. There's only very few platforms that have this customer, and we have this great relationship with them. So that's one thing I would want to leave with your audience.
Shein Marketplace, George Chang, legend in the business, new podcast guest. So congrats on completing your podcast. I don't know if it's your first or your second, but it's very, very, very new. But thanks for coming on and educating us about the Shein Marketplace.
Great. Well, thanks, Rick. You're a legend in your own right, and would love to come on another time.
All right. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.